Hey, it's James Zaylor, and welcome back to the Fringe Voices show. I just want to thank Niles as a new Patreon subscriber. Thanks so much, Niles. The new ratings on Apple Podcasts and the new review from Bingo4213. Please rate, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. And so this week, I'm featuring interesting friends of mine that do cool stuff. So check it out and let me know what you think. Fringe Voices show listeners, today I want to welcome a friend, a rapper, a musician, and just a multifaceted human being, Tavi Hapala. How you doing, man?
Good, man. Thank you for having me on.
Yeah, I've been wanting to have you on for a while because you just do so many different projects, and I guess we've known each other for, I want to say, like over at least 6 or 7 years.
Yeah.
And I remember at the time you were living in Chicago and we vibed because we were both into making beats on machine, which you were much better at. And we were both Buddhists. You remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. I remember we met in Florida at the Buddhist conference, and man, yeah, that must've been like 10 years ago. That must've been like 2011.
Yeah. That was actually a long time ago because You were still in Chicago. And then I just remember, like, I think you were into heavy metal then too, right?
Yeah. I mean, I've always been into heavy metal, but, I was into heavy metal and rap, both of it, you know?
Yeah. So like, we just kind of been, you know, friends ever since. And so that's why I wanted to bring you on. And so like, I just wanted to talk about the projects that you're working on, some of your influences. I mean, you have a podcast now, you have a YouTube channel. But right now, one of your projects, like I said, of which you have many, is the rap group Bag Boys. And so far, I've been really digging that the New Day song. So if you could just talk a little bit about that project and then how you would describe your music, because it's a little unique, right?
Yeah, yeah, no, definitely. I guess the Bag Boys project came about from me and my friend Mike. My friend Mike, we went to high school together in Chicago in Park Ridge High School called Main South. And we had known each other in high school, and then we kind of lost contact. And then I started following him again on Instagram in, like, I would say 2016, maybe 2016, 17. And we started, you know, just reacting to each other's stuff. And then in 2018, we started working together on some music, just as solo artists. And we made a song called Cadillac Cruise. We made a music video for that. And
that's awesome.
We would always kind of, we both dug each other's kind of inside jokes. Mike had an inside joke with his brother, you know, where he would say, like, "What's up, Bags?" He would say stuff about Bags all the time. And then he would always post pictures with, like, LaCroix and Dunkin' Donuts. And I kind of had an obsession with Dunkin' Donuts as well. So I would just, like, laugh hysterically at it. And then at a point in, like, I guess, yeah, 2019 spring, we decided, to, you know, we got back in contact again and we're like, okay, I was like, okay, let's make a rap group and let's call it Bag Boys, just 'cause we already have that going, and let's base it on Dunkin' Donuts and LaCroix, you know, make it like a satirical, you know, like kind of like comedic, but not like making fun of rap or anything like that. Like, you know, just a lighthearted project where you could experiment and really, you know, go into any different area without overthinking it, you know, because my previous work, you know, has been a lot of really serious projects, serious rap groups, serious, you know, art projects. And it's like, you know, as an artist, you want to do it really good. But I realized over the years at one point that you gotta get lighthearted, you know, a lot of the times. And one of the strategies with my previous rap group called Diamond Chalice was we would make, like, joke songs before we would get in to make a real song, because that would get us in the vibe. That would get us in the flow. We wouldn't be overthinking stuff. There wouldn't be all this pressure, like, oh man, we got to make a great song. you know, it'll be like, all right. Sometimes the goal would be like, let's make the stupidest song we can ever make. Let's make a full album of stupid songs. You know? And we'll end up just like laughing on the floor after making it. And then we're so like, you know, loose, and then we're ready to get in the flow and we can make another song. So the Bag Boys project was just like, okay, let's trust the first thing that we do. Let's, you know, the label I have is called Only Bangers, which means like having an attitude, like everything you make is a banger, you know, a rap banger is like the best beat. So it's like, let's just make everything you make like the best thing. Like in Buddhism, we talk about Ichinin, your determination, like what are you going to make in each moment? You know, you decide each moment with your mind and your attitude. So like, that was kind of the attitude with Bag Boys. Like, okay, let's decide it's going to be a banger, but let's not overthink it. And let's keep it lighthearted and experiment with it. And yeah, just get a bunch of people on it. I think we had over 16 features on it. Like just all the rappers I've worked with over the years, I just hit up like most of the people. And I was like, okay, I got to get you on this song. Got to get you on this song. And
that's so awesome.
It started out as just an EP. We're like, okay, let's just make a Bag Boys 5-track song. And then 5 tracks turned into 10 tracks, 10 tracks turned into 20 tracks. And then we had 25 tracks. And I spoke with my friend. He's like, yo, you might as well just make it 30. So we got 30 tracks on it.
This is awesome.
So it's been really like, good.
No, but it is, like you said, like it is kind of lighthearted, but then, you know, like then you have songs like the New Day song, which I think is really cool because it just talks about, you know, kind of like, and correct me if I'm wrong, but like overcoming your past and all of that sort of stuff. So I think I like that good mixture of like the lightheartedness, but then like not necessarily seriousness, I wouldn't say, but I don't know. How would you say?
Yeah, I think it's more serious. I think New Day's definitely a serious song. And I think Out of the Dark is a serious song. I think those are the two most serious songs. There's other songs like Mellow Magic. There's other songs that are on there that are serious. But yeah, I think it's a good mixture. Like New Day is about, you know, deciding every day is a new day, you know, not getting hung up on the past, not getting hung up on guilt. I think me and, right, you know, I don't want to speak for my friend Mike, but I think myself at least can get stuck in my head about guilt and stuff like that. And I think maybe that resonated with him as well too. So, I remember I recorded that song in 2018 in like, August or September, 2018.
Really?
Yeah. And actually my friend, Ski helped me produce that. Ski Beats, shout out to Ski. You know, he's helped me a lot with music and showed me a lot of cool things. I went up to Yonkers to make that one. And yeah, Ski is a legend. He's worked on, he produced Dead Presidents for Jay-Z and Feeling It on Reasonable Doubt. Yeah.
Wow.
And he was experimenting with all this like, analog synths where you like patch stuff together. And, we had made a song that day. And originally that was going to be one of my solo songs, but I always heard Mike on it, you know, even when we first made it. So I was like, okay, the Bag Boys project can't just be, you know, can't just be super lighthearted stuff. Like I want to put this song will fit on there. So I feel like New Day and Out of the Dark are the two more serious songs that, you know, kind of balance out the project.
Yeah, and that's what, like I said, that's what I like about it. And then, so you have the Bag Boys project, which is pretty awesome, and I'll link to in the show notes for people to where they can find that. But it's on any major platform, right? Like I know I was listening to it on Spotify.
Yeah, it's on Spotify, Apple Music, YouTube, all that stuff.
But you also make really great videos for your music too. Who makes your videos? They're so like, they're really well done.
Work with different people. Which video specifically?
Well, especially with that New Day song, that video was really good.
Yeah, that was a super good one. That was me and Mike's friend from high school. His name is Nick. Nick is super good, with videos and, he was doing some stuff for Mike's other band called Thematic. And they're actually on New Day. They did like drum fills on New Day. But he was doing, he was working with them. So we're like, we just asked him if he wanted to do a video. Because we didn't want all the videos to be like gutter videos, whatever. Because most of the videos we just do on our phone, you know.
Yeah, which is pretty, they're pretty funny too, actually.
Yeah.
Gotta check them out.
The Trader Joe's one.
Yeah, I mean, they're just funny. The Dunkin' Donuts is always featured. but yeah, you have that. I mean, that's a really great project that I think that you know, like you said, it's you kind of taking a step back from like being super serious, but then it's lighthearted, but then can be serious. But also another project that I like that you're working on is with your wife. Could you speak about that project too?
Yeah. Me and my wife have a project called Hoi, H-O-I, and it basically. So yeah, there's a deep story behind this one. So like we met, me and my wife Francisco, we met in August, I think August 19th, 2018, and my friend Diego asked me to play piano for his birthday party. And at first I was like, oh, I don't know if I can do it. First he asked, like, do you know anyone who can play piano for my birthday party? And I was like, oh, I'm not a classical musician. I can't really read notes. So I was thinking about it. But then after, you know, chanting about it and really praying about it, like, oh, you know, like I need to, you know, believe in myself. Like, oh, then I just told him, like, you know, yo, I can do it. You know, I'll play piano for this, for your birthday party. So I decided to play piano for his birthday party. I opened the door and my wife opens the door, you know, before that she wasn't my wife, but it's just a beautiful woman. And I was like, all right, I was just nervous. I was like, oh shoot, I gotta play piano and I don't know what I'm going to play. Cause I can't really read. So I was just going to improvise. And my friend Diego, he's like this, really good fashion designer. And he like set up this whole apartment for like this extravagant birthday. It was like his 33rd birthday, and he like made everything white and really nice, and he set me up in this costume, like a magician costume. He put a top hat on me, he put like a black cloak around me, and then he had me go sit on the piano and just play while the guests arrived, you know. So I was just awesome. Playing piano for like an hour or two, and then you know, a guy comes up to me and asks me to play, like, you know, request a song. And I started to get nervous. I can't take any requests. I just got to keep improvising. And then this beautiful woman who opened the door comes and asks me to sit down to eat dinner. And this was the second time someone came to ask me, before it was the other guy. And I was like, oh, you know, I've been playing for 2 hours and I'll go and sit down. And my friend Diego had intentionally sat us next to each other. We had assigned seats. So I ended up sitting next to this woman from Chile. She couldn't really speak English and I couldn't speak Spanish. And but we were communicating through Google Translate and stuff. And I found out she was a rapper and a singer and a dancer. And she was looking for a producer. So then we decided to hang out the next day. And she came over to my house and we made what would happen to be the first song on our EP called Braids. And during that time, we just, we felt like a huge, big connection. We hugged for like 15 minutes straight. And we were like, we were both like, oh, this is, you know, this is not normal. This is like a super deep connection. And, And then the next week we made another song, and in this song it was called Love of Life. And I kind of declared my love subconsciously to her, because all during this week I was thinking about it and chanting about it and really, you know, really came to the decision and knowing like, okay, this is the person for me. And I made this song with her there, and then like later on that week I asked her out, we started dating. And then a month later, we decided to get married. So our EP is basically this combination you know, our EP combines, it encapsulates this time period, of when we met and we started dating and we got married. So it's like a really sacred EP to us. And
yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah, man. And the intro and the outro is actually, was actually made the same day that New Day was made, the original take of New Day, because Ski actually produced the intro and the outro of the Hoy EP. When I first came there, he plugged in some stuff and he was showing me the sequencing stuff. And I heard this like, you know, and I was like, oh, what is that? Please record it. I need it. So we decided to use that for the intro and the outro. And then we moved in together and we ended up performing our EP at our wedding in Chicago, like our wedding ceremony, our celebration.
Nice.
In 2019. And during this quarantine, we actually finished our album, and it's getting mixed now, mixed and mastered by, do you know, Bassy Bob Brockman?
Oh yeah. Yeah. He's also a Buddhist, right?
Yeah.
Buddhist, I know who he is. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So I worked on the 50K original song. I met him through that when I helped produce that, and he mixed and mastered that. So, I hit him up and asked him to mix and master this project, the Hoy album. It's called Jewel Dignity. And yeah, so he's mixing and mastering it now. He for those who don't know, he mixed and he mixed most of Ready to Die from Notorious B.I.G. A lot of other classic stuff. He's super good.
Yeah, you are pretty fortunate to have him behind your back.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm super grateful with that. So, and our EP came out last year on our anniversary, on our 1 year anniversary, September 25th, 2019. We got married on September 25th, 2018, 2 days after the 50K festival. And,
oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I remember it all happened pretty fast because I was late. I hadn't talked to you for like a couple months. I was like reaching out to you and you're like, you said you're married. I was like, what? I was
like, yeah. Like, yeah, yeah,
it seemed to have happened fast, but I mean, I'm not in a judgmental way either, but like it was just surprising to me. I remember.
Yeah, no, it did happen super fast, but in another sense, like I think me and my wife were both looking for someone, the person, you know, to spend the rest of our life with for a while.
Right.
You know, I know I was, you know, really praying about that, and you know, I'm so grateful to have met her and gotten married and how everything turned out. You know, I wouldn't want anything different. You know, it's been a beautiful journey, and we're going to release our album on our 2 year anniversary on September 25th, 2020. Sorry, I'm missing all the dates.
Yeah.
This year. Yeah. So.
Yeah, that'll be awesome. I'll look forward to that.
Yeah, man, we got 15 songs, so it's much different than the three songs of the EP. So we're working on videos for that now too, and I'm excited. So.
So you have the Bag Boys project, you have the Hoy project with your wife. Like, who have some of your influences been through? I mean, it seems like your music is so unique and you go into so many different directions, and you yourself play so many different instruments. Like, who have some of your influences been, like, musically?
Thanks, man. My influences, you know, what got me into rap was my friend Martin showed me the Eminem Marshall Mathers LP when I was like in fourth or fifth grade. And that just blew me away. Eminem's second album. I was like, well, you know, what is this? And I heard all the beats. And then from there, I got into Dr. Dre 2001, because Dr. Dre produced most of that. He produced that whole album and he made a lot of the beats, right. Not all the beats, but he oversaw the whole thing. But, yeah, I think Dr. Dre is my number one influence for music production in terms of beats. But I've had a big a big history, and I've been fortunate to go deep into many different types of music. I think that's why my style can vary so much. Because, you know, I got into Eminem and Dr. Dre, but then I started getting into whatever the rap metal at that time. It was like Limp Bizkit and Linkin Park and K-Rock.
Oh, yeah.
And then I started going really super more metal. And then I, you know, like I started playing guitar and getting into all the classic Metallica, all the classic Slayer. And then I went deep into like death metal and Norwegian black metal, like Dimmu Borgir and Dark Throne and Immortal, you know, and like a lot of this stuff. Yeah, death, a lot of this, you know. And then I went deep into metal and I totally rejected rap. And I was in a metal band and I wrote all the music for the metal band from like sixth grade to basically ninth grade. But wow. Then at that time I started getting a little more open-minded. I got into, like reggae, like started appreciating like Bob Marley and some more chiller music, you know, some like classic rock stuff and Pink Floyd and Led Zeppelin and Black Sabbath and stuff. And then I started getting into dance stuff like techno and trance, and I got deep into dance and I wanted to actually be a dance producer. I wanted to be a dance producer and a DJ.
And, oh, really?
Yeah. And one summer, I worked and I was able to buy most of my equipment. I have the first synthesizer I got and beat machine and stuff. And then, but my heart still only, still lied with rap, you know. In freshman and sophomore year, I also got back into rap when I was in the dance stuff. Like, and I was heavily influenced by 3-6 Mafia. They were one of my favorite rap groups.
Oh, and, nice,
yeah. And one of my friends was like, you know, I was always thinking about, I told him I was making dance beats. He's like, yo, you should make rap beats. And I always kind of thought about that. But I didn't pursue it because I was like, oh man, no, rap beats are going to be too hard. But my friend, you know, my friend Milo, and I remember in the locker room in high school, he was like, yo, just do it. You know, you should make rap beats. And I was thinking about it, like, you know what? I should just do it. You know, I need to just do it. So right then and there, I switched from dance to just making rap beats. And I made rap beats that sounded just like 3-6 Mafia beats. All my first beats just sounded like 3-6 Mafia. So that was like 2006. So I've been making rap beats since 2006.
Wow.
And then just going through the whole journey of different genres of rap, I was making all 3-6 Mafia type beats. And I had known about Dr. Dre and Eminem from before, but I had never really gotten into like classic rap, like Nas. I hadn't gotten into the classic Tupac stuff. I'd known Biggie. I'd known a little bit of Tupac's albums after he died. But after I started making rap beats, I went through this whole journey of, you know, getting into Big L, getting into Eric B and Rakim, you know.
Oh, yeah, the 90s rap. Yeah, that
you
was
know,
my
yeah.
So I know all about you know, that.
All that stuff. I would order CDs from Amazon and just go on Wikipedia. Yeah. And I felt like I lived through it because the way that I got into it was I would go to the library and get Eric B and Rakim CDs. And then I would start buying used CDs on Amazon and looking up stuff on Wikipedia on rap history. And that's how I got in. Wow. And I would buy all the Nas albums in order, all the Biggie albums in order, all the Tupac albums in order, Big L, you know, and I would go by producer. So if there's a producer I liked, because I really resonate with the beats, you know, because I'm a producer. So
right.
When I heard Tupac, like me, you know, Me Against the World, I really got into Easy Moby. Easy Moby is one of my favorite producers too. He's super underrated. He produced like Temptations. He produced Me Against the World. And he's the only producer to work with Biggie and Tupac at the same time while they're still alive.
Really? I had no idea about that.
Yeah. So he's a legend. And yeah, so then it just led me through all the rap stuff. And then I felt like I needed to get prepared for when I went to college. I was like, oh, I don't want to be behind. I got to study all this stuff. I got to understand all this stuff. And I was just making beats and I got into sampling beats. I would go to record stores and buy vinyl. I have a whole collection of vinyl at my parents' house.
Nice.
And yeah, and by the time I got to college, I thought I needed to be 100% prepared. And then I would meet other people, but some people didn't even know who Big L was. And I was like, what the heck? You know, how do you not know who Big L is? And you're a rapper, you know, that's unacceptable.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So, and then I met my friend, Eben, and we started making music, and I made my first album in 2009 in college, and it was all sample based beats. And then we moved to New York, and he moved in 2011. I moved in 2012. And man, there's been a lot, but that's an abbreviated version of it.
Yeah, I know. You've had a long journey. Even like in New York, you've had some experiences and stuff. But yeah, it's not, you know, like life is challenging. But now, like, I think you're really on the up and up with all these different projects you're working on, and you're married now, and you know, you really seem like you're in your flow right now, which is pretty awesome to see. Who are some of your other influences in your life? Because I mean, music is just, you know, one thing that can influence a musician. Who are some other influences?
My Buddhist practice, I would say, is like super important. You know that too, you know, you chant as well and practice. So it's like, I think it's the single most important thing. Like, I think it's the underlying thing that, like, yeah, you know, it takes hard work. And, you know, I was a good producer and musician before I started practicing Buddhism, but I feel like Buddhism has just helped me grow in an exponential way that I couldn't have done before. Like, you know, like we talk about having a mentor in Buddhism, you know, with President Ikeda, you know, having that example of someone who always believes in you no matter what, and basing your life on that, you know, basing your life on respecting your life and other people's life, and making that the practice, you know, because really that, even that now, I've been talking with my friend, with Hunter, my friend Hunter, who I'm also working on a project with, and he's also a member. And just like believing in yourself every day, you know, it's simple, but it's not easy. And like all the activities we do, chanting together and studying and meeting in groups, and encouraging other people, is like, so that we can not slander ourselves, and not, you know, teach other people to not slander themselves either, you know, because like the whole world is
right
backwards in thinking in terms of, like, you know, it's like a normal thing for people to talk bad about each other. It's a normal thing for people to complain. It's a normal thing for people to degrade themselves, you know, and it's like an accepted normal thing. But that's like, it's like not a, that's like not correct. You know what I mean? And
exactly.
I guess Buddhism has helped me to like think correctly about my life and other people's life. So then that automatically goes into the music. And that, I feel like that's what's started moving my momentum. Honestly, since the beginning of this quarantine, I feel like I've really been reflecting on that and really been able to apply all the stuff we've been taught since I've been practicing, you know, like basically almost 10 years, the past like 10 years, like how to think correctly, how to act correctly, how to believe in yourself, how to embrace that, you know, and not like degrade yourself and others. And, you know, that's why I started my own business during this quarantine, with putting up my beats online. I have a website called thebestmusicproducer.com. And that's not a show of arrogance. You know, it's just like, you got to embrace your determination. You got to embrace what your true potential is, you know?
That's right, man.
So it's like, yeah, you know, I do have the right to say that, you know, and it's not out of arrogance, but it's out of my determination. It's out of where I value my life. And, you know, I'm not saying I'm better than everyone, better than anyone else. And anyone, you know, can do that. Everyone should view themselves as the best, because that's what you are. You know, you are Buddha. You are this infinite energy source that's completely worthy.
Yeah, and anybody that knows you is like, knows you're far from arrogant. So I think that you know, it's you're right. Like, you're just showing like your determination to that you are the best, and you want other people to be the best too in their lives, if I'm not misunderstanding, right?
Yeah, totally. Like, completely, you know. I know, you know, it's like, you know, me and my friend Hunter were talking too, like, you know, it does make people feel uncomfortable sometimes when you say, whatever, you're the best, or, you know, you're going to be the best or something. I remember dealing with that in whatever, you know, high school or college or different situations. If someone doesn't believe in themselves, and there's someone else who says, like, you know, they're going to be the best or something, then that doesn't accord with their belief system. So they want to kind of drag them down. So, like, society, I think, right, is filled with that incorrect type of belief. So I think people, like, you know, people who express that get attacked a lot in the media and stuff like that, you know? So, but I feel like,
yeah, you, because, know, it, you, is, you gotta, so embrace, unusual, that.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah, I like that. I like that. I didn't realize that you had started that up now. So I'm glad to hear that you're doing that. And I know you have a YouTube channel for that project too, right?
Yeah, I've switched my YouTube channel a few times. It was first my personal channel, and then it was only bangers for the label. And then I was, at the beginning of the quarantine, I was like, you know, talking with my wife. She was helping me a lot to organize everything. I just need to really focus in on one thing to get it moving, you know? So I've been focusing 100% on this, this website called thebestmusicproducer.com, and it's a newsletter. So I changed the YouTube channel is now a combination. It's Tavi Hoppala, the best music producer. And, the website is a newsletter. So you sign up for it. It's a subscription. It's $5 a month. And I put out meditation music on Monday, and I put out like a trap beat on Thursday. And
nice.
Yeah, so it's an unlimited, non-exclusive lease. So, like, anyone can use it. People can rap on it or use it for music or film or podcast or whatever. You know, they just have to know that other people who are subscribed can use it as well. They can upload it on Spotify, whatever they want.
Awesome.
You know, I think it's a pretty good deal. It's only $5 a month. So,
hell yeah.
Yeah.
It's a lot of charging.
It's a worthy purchase. That. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and then I make this art called light language art. It's kind of like codes. It looks like ancient codes, but it's like intuitive art. It's like, it looks like different languages or codes. So I pair a piece of artwork with each audio thing. And then there's a Dropbox download link, and there's a preview link. So that's really been helping me get organized and focused and just keep me on my stuff, because I like have to make something at least every Monday and Thursday. And every Friday I'm putting out something for free for people who aren't ready to pay yet. If people just want to put their email and do a free, whatever, free thing. So
nice. Yeah, and for people that are listening, I'll link to this, all this information in the show notes. So I would definitely encourage you to subscribe and check out all of Tavi's work. And I saw you just recently launched a podcast too.
Oh yeah, so I launched a podcast with this newsletter as well. I had all these ideas from chanting, honestly, too. You know, that's how it's kind of, you know, given me my flow too. Like before I started all this stuff, I was chanting a lot. I was chanting like 3 hours a day for a month, I think. And I was like,
damn.
That, whenever I do that stuff, it's like ideas just come, you know, popping in. So I was like,
yeah.
I need to start a website mixed with my light language art to have everything integrated. And then I'll do a podcast And I'm starting it just with interviewing producers, like fellow friends, producers I know. And the theme is on the quest to be the best. So we're talking about not really technical stuff, but we're talking about more the spiritual journey of a producer and how to make the best stuff in terms of what gets you in the zone. I feel like that's the most important thing, you know, because a lot of people are technically good, but I don't think that technicality is that important. I think the most important thing is how can you get in the flow? You know, even if you can't play any instruments, or even if you only know how to do one thing on a beat machine, you know, the most important thing is the swag or the energy or the flow, you know, how pure can you get into that space? Because even really good artists, a lot of times they can only get there once, you know, like Michael Jackson with Thriller. You know, that's like right. A specific energy. That's like he never reached that level again. You know, a lot of artists never reach their classic level again. So my goal is like, how can we continually always be in that space and be ready to produce from that space of purity and pure creativity? And again, it leads back to like what President Ikeda says, you know, like your art is just a reflection of your humanity. You know, and Herbie Hancock talks about like, you know, the more that you're challenging your personal life and stuff that you're afraid of and how much you're caring for others and really using your art as a vessel to give what the people need, that's what can produce that level of art, you know?
Right. Yeah, and for those people that, you know, normally I haven't talked about like Buddhism on the show, but it is... is an important piece of my life, and we're, you know, we both are what's called Nichiren Buddhists, and it's just a group of everyday people. There's no priests or monks or anything like that, and we're definitely not trying to like propagate every person in the world to become a Nichiren Buddhist. But you know, there's this aspect of like like we've talked about, that people need to realize their best self and like their best self every day. And I think that's what you're doing with this project. That's pretty cool too, is that like, how can I be the best producer every day instead of just like a one hit wonder?
Yeah. How can you manifest that space all the time? And, I like to, I've done two so far. My friend, You a Good Kid, he's a good producer, and Antoine, he's a good producer too. And we just go and talk. We have it very informal, you know, even if there's whatever mistakes and stuff, I don't consider any mistakes, even with my music. Like I usually go with the first take because it's like, I don't know. I like to keep the purity in there. So it's usually just like a conversation. And it's like, I think spirituality and religion is a super important part of being a good artist. And I think all the great artists had some kind of, you know, influence that was deep to get them into their zone, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, I think we've had a great conversation about your music, your projects, just like the multifaceted human being that you are, your journey. You have a very interesting life, and I think more people need to be exposed to it. Do you have any other recommendations for anything? And then where's the best place for people to reach you at on the internet?
Yeah. I guess, the best place to reach me, go to thebestmusicproducer.com, or you can find me on Instagram, the best music producer. My personal one is Tavi Hoppala, but that's usually too hard to spell. So just find me from the best music producer. and I guess I would like to share a quote that really influences me. It has influenced me over the years. Okay. That's okay.
Please go ahead.
From this book called My Dear Friends in America, the president of our Buddhist organization, the Soku Gakkai International. And it talks about, it's on page 260, the positive life view found within a single moment of life. You are the playwright of your own victory. You are also the play's hero. Shakespeare wrote, all the world's a stage, and all the women all the men and women merely players. Buddhism teaches that the individual writes and performs the script for his or her own life. Neither chance nor divine being writes the script for us. We write it, and we are the actors who play it. This is an extremely positive philosophy inherent in the teachings of 3,000 realms in a single moment of life. You are the author and the hero. To perform your play well, it is important to pound the script into your head so thoroughly that you can see it vividly before your eyes. You may need to rehearse in your mind. Sometimes it helps to write down your goals, copying them over and over until they are burned into your heart. Once there was a young boy who had an accident that left one of his legs shorter than the other, but his parents never, under any circumstances, discouraged him by saying things like, "You can't do that," or "That's too hard for you." They treated him like any other child and encouraged him to play sports. They taught him that he could do whatever he believed he could, and that if he failed, it was because he had decided to fail before he tried. The boy became a star football player at school, and after graduation, he succeeded in society as well. His life is a perfect demonstration of the assertion made by Russian writer Maxim Gorky that talent is believing in yourself, in your own power. This is not some abstract speculation or theory about the triumph of the will. It represents a belief in the latent potential of the human being. So I've always looked at that quote over the years, you know, and it's always helped me, you know, especially even with the situation that's going on now in the world, you know, the pandemic, racial stuff, all this stuff. Like, we can't just wait around for stuff to end or open up. We have to decide to be part of the shift, you know, in our day-to-day actions, and only we know how to impact that, you know, our own wisdom. You know, we need to go in deep to see, like, what is our mission in this? What is our role? What do the people need? What is our talent that the people can help heal from, that we can give? So I think
I definitely appreciate you sharing that quote. I definitely appreciate you coming on the show. And I think that's a good stopping point, because I think that encapsulates this whole conversation and your journey. Thank you so much, Tavi, for coming on today. Appreciate it.
I agree, man. Yeah. Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it. This is my first podcast interview. So, you know, someone else interviewing me. So thank you, James.
Yeah, no problem. And again, I'll link to all of the stuff we talked about in the show notes. So check that out. Thanks once again, Tavi, and have a great rest of your day.
All right. You too, man. Thank you. See ya.